Tipping Point with Zach Yenser is a paid program. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of KVOI or any organization the host is affiliated with.
Good morning, Tucson, and welcome to the beautiful 1030 The Voice Studios. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. You're listening to Tipping Point, daily, 9 to 10. It's news, in-depth news and discussion about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Hope you're enjoying a rainy, wet Thursday morning, January 16th. I like to look at it from the inside, and we get, about 20 of these days a year, so it always feels a little bit special. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're listening, thanks for hanging out with us. We have a full hour for you as we get going. I'm excited to spend the first half with Johnny Bubanek, a Tucson muralist, a local Tucson guy, talk about his art and artistry in Tucson. It's part of our regular monthly Tucson Arts and Culture series where we talk about some of the artists, creatives, and underground change makers who are really shifting and shaping Tucson that we may not know about yet. And I work with my good friend KP on that. And KP Madman said, Zach, you got to talk to Johnny Bubanek. And so Johnny is here in studio, looking forward to talking to him about his history in Tucson, how it defines his art around town, where you can go see the amazing murals he puts together, and the material he uses. I'm just going to hint at that, right? To do these murals is absolutely incredible. And then the bottom half of the hour, when Johnny and I wrap up, I want to share something with you about Tucson that makes me want to jump up and down in excitement and also curl up in a ball and cry. So I'll just leave that hanging as well. We'll be together through the rest of the hour. If you want to join in, hang out with us, 790-2040 is the live line today to give us a call. But without further ado, let's get into it. Johnny Bubanek, welcome to the studio. Happy to meet you. Happy to have you here.
Zach, thank you, man.
Super.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, too. So
wonderful. Let's. There we go. That way we can hear that voice. I take it that Johnny Bubanek is not your real name.
No, it's just...
And you've told me that it's going to take me a long time to practice your real name. But yeah, Give us your real name and then we'll...
So my real name is Johnny Ballesteros, but, you know, that's a little harder for most people to say. So, but Bubanek is a little catchier,
Right.
A little easier to say. So
Johnny's the real first name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bubanek is easier. I think I could handle Ballesteros, but I think Bubanek is going to be a little bit easier for us.
It's easier to remember, too.
For sure. No, it's catchy. So it's Bubonik, Bubanek. Tell me about your kind of artist name and how you came up with it.
Like I said, it was something, I was looking for something a little catchier. But I wanted something infectious. You
know, okay.
If you look up the word bubonic,
there we go.
Quickly and dangerously. So
you can see Tom is working the magic on the other side of the glass for us today. He typed away, went wait, like the plague, and then as soon as he wrote that, you said I want it to be infectious, and hey, you know, it works.
Yes, yeah,
it works. So Johnny Bubanek, tell us what you do around town. You're a muralist, but you're not the average muralist.
No.
Tell us about what you use to create your art.
So most of my work is all spray paint. I do work with other mediums, but that's my favorite. And like I said, or like you said, I do a lot of different styles,
mm-hmm.
different... sign paintings,
mm-hmm.
Portraits,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of everything. So I do my best to make it not look like spray paint.
Yeah.
You know, I like to fool
the viewer.
The viewer, yeah, exactly. So.
So KP sent me some of your work, and I couldn't have said it better. That was what was in my head as I'm looking at this. And we'll try to post some of this stuff on the Facebook page. Search Zach Yenser if you don't follow me already. It's the public page where we post a lot of this radio stuff and other things that I'm up to in Tucson. I'm going to post some of the pictures that KP sent me. And I want our viewers, when they get a chance, to look at this, because when you look at it, you wouldn't think spray paint. And I mean, there's clean lines. It's intricate. I mean, it's not broad brush stroke, so to speak. Not to mix up mediums, Johnny Bubonic. But why spray paint? And how do you make it look like you're not using spray paint? It blows my mind. Don't give away your trade secrets, but how do you do what you do? It's amazing.
Just, you know, years of practice. You know, it started from, you know, the underground. Doing it when you're not supposed to do it, doing it places you're not supposed to do it. But I really decided to take a different approach and really challenge myself to see how far I could take it, you know. And I really enjoy, you know, knocking people's socks off. Yeah. A lot of times people think it's, you know, a sticker or something totally different.
It's incredible stuff.
Once I tell them what I use or if they see me out there working, because that's where I meet a lot of people too. You know, just actually being out there, being somebody that they can approach.
So I'm looking at this one. This looks like this is the one on the side of American Eat Co.
Yeah.
Okay. How long did that take you to do? I mean, it's a whole wall of a building.
Is it the Selena one?
I'm going to show Johnny in studio which one I'm looking at, and you can tell me.
Oh, yeah. So that one is actually at the El Rio Center.
At the El Rio Center.
On the west side there.
Got it. Yeah, just down the street from me. We'll get into that in a minute. How long did that take you? It's amazing.
That took a couple weeks.
Okay.
Those murals are actually, they've been there since the early 70s. So we got the chance to restore them and bring them back to life.
You are it sounds like you're a Tucsonan born and raised.
Born and raised.
West Side.
Yeah.
We're neighbors, as it turns out. I didn't know that before we sat down here. And we'll get into this a little bit more in the second segment, but set it up for me. How does being a local Tucsonan on the West Side impact your art? We talked about the medium you use and why you use it, but when you create what you create, how does your time in Tucson impact what you do?
Well, the imagery definitely, you know, represents, especially in a place like this.
Mm-hmm. So tell us, you know what? I don't want to cramp the, we've got plenty of time after the break. Keep going. I want you to tell our listeners about this when we come back, kind of let them see what we see, but they can't see. But continue. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So like, we won't dive directly into it, but there's a lot of history in these murals, especially on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
So I do my best to honor the people that, you know, came generations before me.
Mm-hmm.
And also like that, keeping the integrity of the mural, just bringing it back to life, like I said. But, you know, that gives me a great sense of pride, you know, to make my family and my neighbors proud, you know.
Right.
There's a lot of family and friends on that side of town, and relatives and just loved ones all around the city, really, but especially in the areas I grew up in, you know, that's who it affects the most. So
it's so interesting you mention that, because that's something that blows me away, even though it's just a part of the tapestry of the West Side, but it still just blows me away all the time how many generations will still be in the community. I mean, at least sometimes four or five generations been in that same home or in that same block or on that same street for decades upon decades upon decades. It's a beautiful piece of this part of Tucson that you don't always get to see in other parts. Is that fair, you think?
I think there are pockets in the city where it's like that, you know. Especially, you know, the south side, especially where there's a lot of Mexican communities.
Right.
A lot of time that's where.
Right.
Like that, there's generations.
Right.
So like that, depending on the neighborhoods and the areas, there's definitely a lot of that going around Tucson. But like I said, I've got family all over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from the west side, but, you know, grew up on the west side, but I've got family in almost every neighborhood, you know. So.
Yeah. That's cool. And you know, it's funny that we went there because that was kind of organic. It wasn't scripted, but I want to land there if you're okay with it after we come back from the break. Maybe you can kind of paint an image in our mind of what we're looking at here, some of your art and how it's defined by your roots in the West Side. I want to talk about what it means to be an artist and a creative in Tucson, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then you and I live in a community, a part of town that is so rooted in history, but also is changing so quickly. And I want to know as an artist, as a creative rooted in many communities around Tucson, how does that inform your art? I think we got a lot to go when we come back from the break. We're back with Johnny Bubonic for Infectious, a spray paint muralist in Tucson. That stuff is amazing. We're going to paint a picture of it for you when we return here on Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
As a new decade begins, we'll keep you informed. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Tucson, Tipping Point is proud to have Why I Love Where I Live as a sponsor of our program. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Visit their shop filled with locally designed goods and resources to encourage an appreciation and curiosity about what makes Tucson special and unique. Located at the MSA Annex just west of I-10 and Congress, find more details and shop hours at their website, whyiloveWhereILive.com. Look, we get it. Running a small to mid-sized business is hard work. And making sure you have a team that feels taken care of is just another thing on your plate, but it's so important. Welcome to HR Resolve, a human resource company that is local and can help you tackle payroll, workers' compensation, healthcare, and more. With HR Resolve, you're not just a number in the crowd. You're assisted by a local company that knows what it's like to run a business and can customize a plan for you. Give Shanae and the team at HR Resolve a call at 520-867-8384.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, welcome on back in Thursday, January 16th. You're listening to Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. In-depth news and discussion daily about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. And once a month at least, we do an arts and culture segment curated by my good friend KP Madman. And he has a pulse on the underground art, culture, music, creatives, entrepreneurs who are really shaping this community under our feet, who we're going to know about eventually, we don't know about yet. And it is a real privilege and honor to get to interview some of the amazing people that are just doing great things in our community. Johnny Bubonic is one of those individuals. Again, as we said, not your birth name, but your artist name. And yes, like the plague, Infectious. You wanted your art to be something that really made an impact in Tucson. You are a spray paint muralist. We don't have time to recap that. If you missed his definition of his art, go and check out the podcast. Google Play Music, iTunes, KVOI.com. Check out the first part of our interview. But we wanted to get into a little bit more about your art. First of all, you make a living doing this, which I think is huge. It's hard to be an artist in Tucson. People see your art. Places like the American E Company say, hey, we want to commission you to paint a side of our building. That's amazing. What does it mean to be an artist in Tucson? Give me the good, the bad, the ugly. How are we great and how do we make it hard on you guys more than we should?
Oh, man. It's amazing. There's a lot of support. There's a really great community for it. There's a lot of people that support it, spread the word. They really, like I said, interact with me when I'm out in the streets doing it.
Right.
So to really, I guess, kind of motivate other people. You know, there's plenty of work out here. If you're if you're willing to get it, if you're willing to work for it, there's plenty of opportunity out here.
So I'm looking at a couple of the pieces that you've been commissioned. Like we just said, someone will say, hey, we want to pay you to do this. There's a couple of examples that were sent to me. One is on the side of the American Eat Company. Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
And it's the Selena image. And Johnny Bubonic, I still don't literally know how you do this. You made it look 3D, not with paint and brush, with spray paint. And some are just this simple. It's Selena in a gold frame. Others, like your work in Barrio Hollywood, are very complex. There's 3, 4, 5 different scenes to me that are happening all at the same time. You and I live in communities that are rooted in 4,000 years of Tucson's history. First peoples, Mexican American culture, Hispanic, Latinx culture. How does that define the art that you do? Paint that picture for us.
Well, we spoke on break about the issues of gentrification and things like that. I wanted to be, especially as a Chicano artist, I really wanted to make sure we told our story and kept our story for generations to come. And I hope that my work lasts for decades, like you know, that one there at El Rio.
Yeah.
That's, like I said, been there since the early 70s, and I hope it lasts for another 30, 40 years, you know, before we have to redo it or restore it again. So, I hope I'm here for that, too.
Yeah, we all do, yeah.
And actually, the original artist from the one who was originally commissioned to paint those murals, sort of passed down the torch. David Dineo,
yeah.
He's a legendary artist in Tucson. You know, he kind of passed us the torch and told us, you know, keep run with it. Keep our story alive. Keep telling the people, you know, we're here. We're not going anywhere. Like you said, we've been here for many, many years, many centuries. So
give me the 30-second, what's happening in this mural you painted, you spray painted at El Rio. What's the big idea of this? I'm going to post it on social media so our listeners can see it after the show, but paint us a picture of what's going on here.
Man, I wish I had a little more information, but, you know, the references I had for that weren't the best either. So a lot of it was kind of filled in. Yeah, I had to improvise a lot of it, but...
Unbelievable.
To me, what we've got from, and we discussed it a little bit with David, but it's kind of like the clash of cultures, you know? There's Christianity, it touches on
There's a Bible in there, there's a cross.
There's a Bible, there's a cross, there's a lot of Aztec imagery.
Yep.
The Aztec calendar is in there, mixed around. There's some Tucson imagery in there, and like that, I think it just speaks about, you know, our history. And like that, kind of the clash of cultures, but we have to stay true to the way we were raised, and like that, our ancestors. So,
and the west side of Tucson is a day by day clash of that culture.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is what's happening today, right? And that's the cool part, I think, of the diversity of Tucson, is there's so many different, as you said, pockets. And I think the West Side is just a real vibrant pocket that is undergoing a lot of change, and it's a clash of cultures.
Yeah.
It's a clash of cultures.
Yeah, so this is our way of staying true to what we believe and what we are as a community, you know, as the West Side. Like I said, it's bigger than just me. So like that, as long as my family, my friends, my people there are proud and they can look past by these things and see them.
So cool.
Every day, you know, that's what means the most to me. So.
Yeah. What do you try to nail down on a geography of town, or do you go anywhere? We'll go anywhere. We've talked about it's not really South Side, but it's Southern Tucson, right out of there along 22nd and 4th is American Eat Company.
Yeah.
This is on Speedway and Grande.
Yeah.
Right off of that. A little bit west of that, but
so I try my best to spread out around town.
Okay.
A lot of people ask me, you know, why don't you do the downtown murals? And I have the ability to, but like I said, I'm more focused on spreading around. I've got a few on the south side, a few on the west side where I grew up, I've got a couple on the east side. And like I said, just trying my best. Couple midtown.
Really?
So just trying to, like I said, do my best to spread it around and touch the communities that I have direct contact with.
Right. You know? Where on the east side did you do one? I didn't get a picture of that one.
So there is a vape shop that I painted.
What are the cross streets?
Grant and Columbus.
Okay.
And actually, I just had to redo that one. Somebody actually drove through it. So they rebuilt it. I had to repaint part of it. But you
is
know,
there a more Tucson story than that?
But it's you
local
know, it's,
artist
it's job security
paints wall. And, car drives through it. Has to repaint.
Yeah. But you know, like you said, I make a living off of this, so
it's beautiful.
I love to do it, and
I love it.
So there's that one. I'm working on one. It's at TCR 2. It's a off road shop.
Okay.
So I'm actually working on that one right now. So if you pass by Speedway in Rosemont in the next few weeks, I'll be out there. So
Instagram, we're down under a minute, which is crazy. Johnny Bubonic, spray paint muralist in town. Instagram's the best place to track as you're doing it. When it's done for us to see, what's your handle?
Johnny Bubonic, JONNYBUBONIK. And
cool. Johnny, man, I appreciate your time.
Thank you,
man.
Thank you. Thank you
know KP
me.
Will be listening. Thanks, KP, for curating this. Just amazing art and artistry and creatives and entrepreneurs. You're kind of all three, Johnny Bubonic, making it happen in Tucson. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your work. And this won't be our last conversation. So take care. Do great art, man.
Thank you, man.
Tucson, we'll be back on Tipping Point. Something that makes me at the same time jump up with excitement in Tucson and also want to curl up in a ball and cry. I'll tell you about that when we come back after the break. 10:30 The Voice.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 10:30 The Voice. Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Today's hot real estate market comes with its own challenges. If you're trying to buy a home, you have to move fast or it's gone fast. Selling your home, that's just always a hassle. But it doesn't have to be your experience. My friend Jason Carlton is a real estate consultant servicing the Tucson metro area. His passion is to help families sell and buy homes with expertise, genuine care, and responsiveness. Feel free to call or text him with any real estate needs to get started. 520-310-6761. Look, we get it. Running a small to mid-sized business is hard work. And making sure you have a team that feels taken care of is just another thing on your plate, but it's so important. Welcome to HR Resolve, a human resource company that is local and can help you tackle payroll, workers' compensation, healthcare, and more. With HR Resolve, you're not just a number in the crowd. You're assisted by a local company that knows what it's like to run a business and can customize a plan for you. Give Shanae and the team at HR Resolve a call at 520-867-8388.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 10:30 The Voice.
Tucson, welcome on back into Tipping Point with me, your host, Zach Yensers. Every day, Monday through Friday, and we do in-depth news and discussion about the people, places, ideas, and issues shaping the future of Tucson. And we want to appreciate that this show is sponsored in part by The Talent Store, run by local talent strategist Devin Underwood. Congratulations. If you're hearing this right now, it likely means, because we know so many of you who are listening, you're running a successful small or mid-sized business in Tucson. And whether you're big or small, we hope that 2020 is a year of growth for you and that it will be time to bring on the right talent to continue your success. But that takes a certain skill and focus to attract, recruit, and discover just the person you're looking for. So whether you need an executive or just filling a key role or have multiple positions to fill, do the right thing. Hand this process off to The Talent Store. Devin can do it all, working on your behalf, giving you the time and talent to run your business. For a free 15-minute talent consultation, schedule a time to learn more at yourtalentstore.com. or via email at info@yourtalentstore.com. Let her know by emailing that I sent you, and you'll get a free 15-minute talent consultation. Tucson, if you missed the first half of the hour, Johnny Bubonic just left the studio. Johnny Ballesteros is his real name. Johnny Bubonic is his artist name. And he is a spray paint muralist around town. Incredible stuff. He works all over town. He is born and raised on the west side of Tucson. Always has been, continues to be, just a clash of cultures and ideas. And he takes that vibrancy, turns it into art to remind us of history and peoples and cultures. And you can follow him on Instagram, and I recommend you do. We're also going to post a couple pictures of his art on our social media. That is happening at Zach Yenser. It's the public page. We post radio and other news and items of discussion up there daily and weekly, so go ahead and check that out. But I've been teasing this for the last half an hour. I wanted to, in this second half of the hour, talk about something that makes me jump up and down out of excitement in Tucson, and also at the same time makes me want to curl up in a ball and cry. And I started my morning yesterday in the best way possible, and got to hear from a wide variety of people in Tucson, academia and business and otherwise, who are working on Tucson's space industry. And what absolutely blows my mind, and I didn't know the full extent of this, is that Tucson is an absolute space hub for space exploration and space technology. An absolute hub. Right? And I was telling someone this the other day, in Tucson, I think we often talk about things in terms of an aspiration, right? Tucson, you know, will be Silicon Valley-like, right? Tucson could be the next Austin. Tucson could be the next Portland. You know, Tucson is the best place to start a new startup or start up a new business, right? There are things about that that are true. Certainly, I don't think they're untrue. I believe our potential is all those things. But a lot of times in Tucson, we often have to get ahead of ourselves in messaging what we want to be. We're not always reflecting what we are because we're not there yet, right? For a variety of reasons, Tucson is a little bit behind most of the rest of the country on kind of some basic things. And so we often have to kind of aspire our way to hopefully materializing what we aspire to. That's not hating. That's just, I think, just the way it is. And so a lot of times I hear things like that and I'll go, that could be true, but it's not quite true yet. When it comes to Tucson's space exploration research and space industry, the thing that blows my mind is that we are already there. Tucson is definitely a Southwest hub for this. So I'm at a breakfast yesterday hearing about all of this. Tucson is starting to import some of the world's best space exploration and technology scientists. We are one of only three states, Arizona is, in the country that has not one but two NASA hubs, Tucson being one of those, Phoenix the other, in Arizona. I think it's only California and Texas have more than one NASA space hub where we are doing NASA research, NASA work. We are sending probes up to space to track asteroids. We are being highlighted nationally as a place where SpaceX and space tech can thrive and grow. What fascinates me about this, right, and I'm getting to what makes me jump up and down and what makes me want to curl up in a ball, is that if there is anything that is not nascent, that is not about to be, that is not, you know, aspirational, if there's anything in Tucson that is real, it's in our hands, it matters, it's working, it's under our feet, it's space. And I just, again, got hit full on in the face with this yesterday And I'll elaborate this throughout the rest of the hour and go into more detail. But I posted something on my social media about this yesterday, and a friend of mine replied with this. And I thought that this was really insightful. And for the absolute gem we have in our hands in Tucson, that is SpaceX and space tech, this is the piece that makes me want to curl up in a ball and cry. They said, yeah, we should sell our space ecosystem much better than we do. However, Tucson and the state does not have a comprehensive and cohesive plan or strategy to leverage our space position. We have many space-related organizations and groups all promoting different visions for the state, which confuses the messaging. I spent 2 years trying to rally a consistent message of space, but there isn't a desire to have one. To the previous comment, this is something that was earlier up on the thread, U of A also built the Mission Critical Camera Suite, essentially three instruments providing all the images of asteroid Bennu shown in the press. So context, University of Arizona developed a probe basically to follow over a period of time the asteroid Bennu. It's a security concern. It's an asteroid that NASA has located as one that it's like a 1 in 2,500 chance in the next 50 years could hit Earth. Right. And so the U of A is following it, tracking it, measuring it, taking samples from it, 3D imaging it. It's absolutely unbelievable. And that's what he's talking about here. I'd love to see greater collaboration and less competition between ASU and the University of Arizona when it comes to space. If we combine space assets across the state, there would be no competition. And in Tucson, I'm constantly caught up in this in between. This is personal. This is a Zach Yenser thing. I can't speak for anybody else. But I'm continually caught up in Tucson where I see the gem in the hand that we don't talk about and have no strategy to talk about it. That we're constantly in that mix of amazing things happening and we're just not yet quite talking about it. In this world of potholes in the street, world-class space exploration down the street. Tucson, and this comes out of love. This is an exciting thing. Tucson just seems to be in this tension in so many ways. And it's both something that I want to go, oh my gosh, this is cool. I'm a Tucsonan. I love being in this community. We are incredible. Not aspirational, we love ourselves. We're just amazing. You're amazing. Not in that way, but actually doing incredible things, and at the same time, we just don't seem to gel around the strategy to take off, pun intended. And I read this post on my Facebook, and I went, how many things in Tucson could you say that exact thing about? We should sell XYZ. We're really darn good at it. We have all the pieces. We just don't have a strategy, and we don't brand around it. Right, I'm looking at Tom on the other side of the glass. It seems like every episode of this show we talk about this. Tom is in studio and we're talking about this. Last week, I think, on Thursday, we talk about brand. We talk about what is Tucson? What does Tucson mean? What is Tucson? How many, I'm going to close on this and then come back to it after the segment. How many times do we say this in Tucson? Gem in our hand, have all of it in place. We just don't have a strategy. We don't have a brand and we're too siloed. Everybody wants to own the whole darn big pie. Nobody wants to come together, stop being competitive, and actually make something great happen. When we come back from the break, I want to give some more thoughts on that. I know Tom has thoughts, but this got my gears going. Guys, this was a 7:30 a.m. breakfast. I was just primed and ready to go. I walked out of that room, and most of the other room that was listening to these presentations had their jaws on the floor. I mean, the stuff we got to see, the stuff that our university is pumping out into space, the pioneer leadership we have here in Tucson is amazing. And the fact that we still like to talk about our tacos and trails more than we do our tech and talent drives me up a wall. Not because I'm angsty and looking for a bone to pick, but because I love this place so dang much. And we have so much here that could go and launch, again, pun intended. We just don't put the pieces together. And I think we should. More thoughts on that when we come back. 790-2040 is how I would love for you to jump on in this conversation. Give me your thoughts. 790-2040. You're on 1030 The Voice. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. We'll be right back.
local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, Tipping Point is proud to have Why I Love Where I Live as a sponsor of our program. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Visit their shop filled with locally designed goods and resources to encourage an appreciation and curiosity about what makes Tucson special and unique. Located at the MSA Annex just west of I-10 and Congress, find more details and shop hours at their website, whyiloveWhereILive.com. Look, we get it. Running a small to mid-sized business is hard work. And making sure you have a team that feels taken care of is just another thing on your plate, but it's so important. Welcome to HR Resolve, a human resource company that is local and can help you tackle payroll, workers' compensation, healthcare, and more. With HR Resolve, you're not just a number in the crowd. You're assisted by a local company that knows what it's like to run a business and can customize a plan for you. Give Shanae and the team at HR Resolve a call at 520-867-8384.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, welcome on back. Join me this segment, our last segment of the hour, 790-2040 is your live line opportunity to join our conversation. We're talking about space and space in Tucson, and in Tucson as a legitimate, currently now already a pioneer in space. We just don't talk about it. The University of Arizona has been part of every NASA mission since the Apollo era, has been at the forefront of planetary studies, led the Phoenix Mars mission launched in 2007, and currently leads the OSIRIS-REx sample return mission to the asteroid Bennu. And part of that was the presentation I was in yesterday to the Tucson community about what the business of space is in Tucson. And I was making the point, and I was reading some people who know a lot more than I do about Tucson as a space hub. By the way, we're one of only three states, Arizona is, that has more than one NASA space hub here, that we are one of the places where NASA is happening. I think it's only California and Texas that have either two or more NASA space hubs. And just talking about how the challenge that, again, people smarter than me have been telling me since yesterday, that we've got this not just nascent space industry, but Tucson is a pioneer in space exploration and space technology. We have all the pieces. We have startups bubbling up. We just don't have a strategy to expedite it, a strategy to message it, or a unity of all the different players to push the story and brand forward. And I was explaining in the last segment, how many things in Tucson could we say that about? That we don't have to just be aspirational about where we want to be. We know our lacks, but there are some things that are really moving in this city. We don't know those stories, we don't tell those stories, and we don't usually figure out how to tell other people those stories. And fill in the blank, we do so many things that way. And before I go to the phone lines, I want to say that this doesn't come from someone who's angsty or has a bone to pick. I ended the last segment this way. This comes from a sheer love for this place. I'm so proud to be a Tucsonan. We've got some amazing gems. We just don't put in the work to help ourselves help ourselves. I have an economic development plan in 2 minutes. I'll tell you before the end of the hour. But Tim Steller,
and you know what, Zach? Before we go to Tim's call, so many missions that people hear about and see in the news.
Yes,
the University of Arizona has a lot to do with a lot of those missions. The Cassini mission to Saturn, for example.
Absolutely, since the Apollo era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get Tim on with us.
It's amazing. So I have Tom, and now I have Tim.
That's right.
Tim Steller called in. Tim, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going, Zach?
Good, good.
Tell me if the line cuts out. But anyway, I just wouldn't worry as much. As I'd say to you, Zach, don't worry, be happy. Because I don't know. I was business editor for 3 years. I was on the business desk for 6 years covering business news. And, there's a natural cycle to these things, these industry clusters and such. there's a cycle where people unify behind a given industry and put out a unified message, and then they fragment, and then they unify again. Like, people get sick of each other in their groups, and they decide they want to form some other group. This, you can see this in chambers of commerce and other industries. And I would just say that, well, maybe it would be good to do better marketing or what have you. I think these things sell themselves to a decent degree. I think the performance of these projects or businesses will be their own marketing, if you know what I mean. Now, I'm not saying that we couldn't optimize it, which you're pushing for something more than what I would, but I we could market better, sure. But I'm just saying, I think these things, if we really are as good as you're saying, that'll take care of itself, and we don't need to worry too much about having like a kind of a top-down cluster or group that meets every month that has coffee or what have you. I mean, those things will happen.
Hey, Tim, let me ask you a question. This is Tom.
Yeah.
Isn't the University of Arizona and Arizona State vying for a lot of these NASA-funded projects that NASA doles out, and they're sort of competing with each other? Isn't there a way that we could kind of get them together and maybe parcel out these projects so that the universities can, you know, which one's best to handle it could do it?
I suppose, yeah. I mean, gosh, yeah, they could get together. It seems, I mean, I haven't thought about this. You probably thought about it more than I have, but yeah, seems like they could.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm starting to hear is that, like on a lot of things, there's competition that probably isn't helpful. And I keep coming back to, and this might be where some of the top-down vision comes from, is why aren't we more of a Sonoran corridor on things, right? Why, yes, it can happen on its own, but can you imagine if a few people said, even on just this issue, hey, look, this probe that's going up to measure samples on the asteroid Bennu, it's built of pieces built by the U of A and ASU. I mean, it is both universities that have built parts
cool.
Up in space. And it'd be nice if that was a more intentional collaboration that didn't have to always be so competitive. I think we've got, in so many ways, right, Tim? There's so many, you fill in the blank. There's so many of these types of things that if we were more intentional about a Sonoran corridor idea, we'd probably get more things done.
Well, an interesting thing I hadn't thought of, but because I'm heading to Nogales right now, I'm thinking of it, is the aerospace industry has gradually shifted some production, some manufacturing to Mexico. And you also see that with other industry, like the electric car, the Lucid Motors plant. Part of the idea was that some of the work could be done in Mexico and then some of it up in Pinal County. If the space industry got big enough that there was actually need for assembly and light manufacturing and that kind of thing, we would also have the advantage. We'd have the advantage of being close to Mexico, where they already have a lot of aerospace, especially going down to Hermosillo, a lot of aerospace work going on.
Tim, you can, I know you're on the road, you can drop off anytime or stay on, but this is a great segue, and if you have a thought on it, we have 2 minutes left. But this is my economic development theory. As a mid-tier city, I don't think we have the benefit like Phoenix does of getting a White Claw hard seltzer company one day and Google the next, right? Phoenix can get anyone and everyone. I think as a mid-tier city, Tucson actually has to be intentional. And I think if Tucson's everybody sitting off the same page of music had a little bit of intentionality on an industry like this and said, look, for the next 3 to 5 years, we're investing in these startups. We're messaging this common brand. We're investing in this research. We're bringing that manufacturing here. I think as a mid-tier market, Tucson can't afford to be organic all the time. I think there has to be some not very top-down, but a little bit of top-down intentionality, because we just don't have the same infrastructure and opportunities some of these bigger cities have. I think we have to zone in and really message the heck out of some things. Otherwise, it's just not going to happen at the same rate. That's my economic development theory. We have 1 minute left. I do hear Tim still on. Tim, if you have a thought, go for it.
Yeah, no, I you're convincing me a little bit that, yeah, you're right. As a mid-tier city, it does put us in a different position. A little push can help. certainly we need to push more than Phoenix does. I don't even worry about these hard seltzer plants or things like that. I mean, we get a few of these, but to push the big things would be good. But this isn't anything new. You know, we have done that down through the years with G-Tech before, which came before Trio, which came before Sun Corridor.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree that that could help, especially because of Tucson status. But
Tim, I appreciate it. We should have a longer conversation soon. I'm seconds away. Tucson's Department of Transportation on tomorrow, Friday 9. We'll see you there. Thanks, Tucson.